Hi everybody, my name is Alex and I am the student minister here at Andover Baptist Church, and it's a real privilege to be speaking to you all today and to be concluding this series called Me and My Big Mouth. And if you've been following us in recent weeks or over during this series, you'll know that we've been looking at the power of our words. You'll be looking at the effects our words have on other people and the idea of taming our tongue, which isn't always easy to do, is it? And we've learned some incredible lessons, things like thinking before we speak, maybe thinking about using words to build up others and to encourage others instead of using words that might tear people down. So I just wonder, if you've been following us, what perhaps have you learned from this series so far? And today I'm going to be looking at a really specific example that Chris mentioned earlier on. And Chris, who is our senior minister, who is helping me at the moment, I'm so grateful for his support, has been talking during this series about a really interesting concept, which he called the quick, slow, slow principle. It's actually taken from the Bible, from a passage written by James, who is the brother of Jesus. And James's advice is that we must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, which can be a bit of a counter-cultural idea in a world that encourages a slow, quick, quick pattern, that is being slow to listen and quick to speak and quick to become angry. And we see that a lot, don't we? And today I'm going to look at how we might be able to put these lessons into practice when it comes to how we respond to leadership and authority. And this seems like a really pertinent and also quite challenging topic right now. Over the past 6 to 9 months, we've seen the outbreak of the coronavirus around the world, and we've seen how people in positions of authority and leadership have been under immense pressure trying to deal with this crisis, and the spotlight has really been on them. And as a result, there's been much criticism about the decisions that have been made. And even before the coronavirus, we've seen so much tension in the world, haven't we? There's been protests addressing political issues or social justice issues or climate change issues. There's been tremendous refugee crises that are still ongoing, as well as other overwhelming issues like poverty, famine, and conflict. And in fact, even in the United Kingdom, we've had a rather turbulent few years by our standards, haven't we? This whole process of Brexit has actually resulted in multiple changes of people in leadership. We've seen division in Parliament and nationwide protests. And as I watch the news and I see things going on in the world, my honest feeling is that it must be so difficult to be in a position of power or authority at this time. I really don't envy those people who have to make the decisions in face of such crises. But the main reason for that is also that there seems to be increasing criticism publicly. There seems to be increasing disrespect and opposition to authority, which divides people. And we all know that division doesn't lead to much good. And I'm not just talking about authorities that govern countries, but all forms of authority seem to be facing increasing resistance. This could be authority within the family, could be in society, in schools, in churches, in local organizations, just to name a few. But while, of course, we are all entitled to our own opinions and thoughts, we are free-thinking beings, it's the way that we express those opinions that really matter. The words we use and we speak are so important, and that's the idea that we've been looking at during this series. And I feel like I'm constantly seeing debates and arguments on social media and TV where hurtful and demoralizing words are being thrown around just quite easily, and they're often targeted at people in authority and leadership. Chris, our senior minister I mentioned before, often says that we get the leaders we deserve. Meaning, if we're going to be criticizing and tearing down people in positions of authority, then we'll likely end up with a very certain type of person in power. Now, that's all quite serious, isn't it? And I want to just sidetrack a little moment just to tell you a little story to lighten the mood. Some years ago, while I was serving as an officer in the army out in Germany, I got the opportunity to take a small team of soldiers to a competition in the UK, a military competition. Now, there was a little bit of a logistical challenge to this, as you'll see on the map, because the competition was going to take place in the south of England, but the team had to fly out to Birmingham, which is in the Midlands. But we needed to get a vehicle, a minibus, from Germany out to the UK, and two of the soldiers were going to have to drive the minibus over to the UK to pick up the team in Birmingham and then take the team down south for the competition. So this meant that for the fortunate two soldiers in that minibus, this would almost be a 24-hour straight journey. And as you can imagine, they weren't best pleased when I gave them this news. However, we managed to change the plans a little bit and get a slightly later flight to Birmingham for the team, which meant that this minibus could leave later. And I thought this was a good thing because it meant that rather than leaving in the evening and driving through the night, they could have left a little bit later on, but probably still in the middle of the night. Now, I thought, as I said, that this was good news. So I went to speak to the soldier that was in charge of this minibus. He held more senior rank. And I said to him, oh, we've got some good news. We changed the plans, the flights a bit later, so you can leave a little bit later too. And I always remember what he said to me, because in a very sincere way, he turned to me and he said, not bad, Mom, it's awful. And I remember in that moment thinking, yes, he's right, it is awful. But do you know what? He got on with that task, and he did it without complaining, even though I'd asked him to do something that he really didn't want to do. And it was probably a decision that maybe he didn't agree with altogether. But he demonstrated complete obedience, not only just by doing that task, but he also stood up for the decision that I had made when he was questioned by others who were equally a little bit unsure. And I really believe that that's not because he had respect for me. He may or may not have had respect for the decisions I made. But I think that he was showing respect for the rank that I held as the officer in charge of what we were doing. He was demonstrating obedience to authority, an authority that was given to me by the British Army. And in fact, in an organization like the Army, that type of attitude is so important, because ultimately it can mean the difference between life and death when it really matters. But it's not always easy to respect authority or be obedient to it, is it? You know, sometimes we don't agree with or even like the person that holds that authority. And I saw this a fair bit in the army too, but time and time again, I saw soldiers and officers being obedient to authority because they understood that it was essential to the harmony of their unit and crucial to the effectiveness of the organization. They were able to see the bigger picture. But what about us? What about everyday life? What is the bigger picture for us? Well, to answer this, I want to go back nearly 2,000 years to look at one of the earliest leaders of the church, a man called Paul, who lived out in the Middle East in the first century, because he understood this issue all too well. And in the time that he lived, this was during the time of Jesus, actually, and beyond, the Jewish people, that was his people, he was a Jewish man, were under Roman rule, this powerful empire, notoriously oppressive and harsh. And as you might imagine, there were groups of Jewish people who just didn't want to put up with that. So they'd often try to rise up and fight and rebel, only often to be caught, punished, and killed sometimes. And this created a lot of division amongst the Jewish people. Some wanted to fight oppression with violence, or perhaps they would refuse to pay taxes to the Roman authorities, while others wanted a more peaceful existence, being obedient to civil authorities. Paul, seeing this division, is writing to Christians. Christians kind of came from Jewish communities at this stage. And he writes a letter to Christians living in Rome. In this letter, he says this: let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Now, that is a pretty bold statement, isn't it? Because Paul is suggesting that the governing authorities, which happened to be the Romans, an empire that had invaded, were in positions of power given to them by God. not the Roman gods, but the Hebrew God, the Christian God. And Paul is actually saying that authority itself comes from God. It doesn't belong to humanity. It's given by God. And it's for that reason that authority is to be obeyed. So actually, in obeying authority, Paul is saying that we are obeying God. Okay, so that is quite a bold statement to make. But then Paul goes on to clarify this further, as if he knew perhaps what the people would be thinking at this time. He says this, consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment upon themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. That last bit about doing what is right always reminds me of how I can respond sometimes, a bit of a confession here, when I'm driving on the motorway and I spot a police vehicle ahead. And in this scenario, I'm probably in the outside, the faster lane, and I'm possibly exceeding the speed limit, probably just a little bit. It's very rare for me. And I do what a lot of other cars around me do. I put the brakes on, and then I casually cruise past the police vehicle, making sure I'm not going over 70 miles an hour. But in addition to this, my initial feeling in this scenario is fear. That's because I know I'm doing wrong, that I'm breaking the law. So when I see that police vehicle, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of the authority. But like Paul says in his letter, if we're doing the right thing and we're keeping the law and being obedient, we have no reason to fear the authorities. Now, I know it is easy for me to say that living in a country where we have a fair and reliable justice and legal systems, but as I've already mentioned, Paul is writing within the context of a time when there was oppression. The Jews were oppressed by Romans, the Roman Empire. There weren't systems that were fair and just in their eyes. And even more significantly, he was writing to Christians in Rome at a time when Rome had one of the cruelest rulers in power, an emperor called Nero, who was the first Roman ruler to really target and persecute Christians. And he came up with all sorts of horrendous ways to torture and kill them. And in fact, just some years later after he wrote this letter, Paul himself would be executed in Rome. So why is Paul giving this advice? Where does it come from? Well, Paul is a follower of Jesus, and Jesus himself endured persecution at the hands of the authorities. And actually, when Jesus was sent to trial before the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, he says something really interesting. Pilate poses a question to Jesus saying, "Do you not realize I have power either to free you or crucify you?" And then listen what Jesus says in response to him. Jesus answered him, "You would have no power over me if it were not given you from above." What an incredible thing to say. Jesus was facing his own death at the hands of the authorities, and yet he knows where that authority comes from. In fact, Jesus here is saying what Paul later affirms in his letter to the Romans, that essentially authority comes from God, belongs to God, not to humans. Jesus is acknowledging the power of the Roman governor, Pilate, in this situation because it is God-given. And equally, as Paul writes to the Romans, an emperor like Nero, as cruel and as awful as he is, has the power because it is given by God. But I know that this is a really tricky concept to kind of digest, and I've really been thinking and wrestling about this in preparing this talk, if I'm honest. And I think at this stage, what is really important to say is that just because authority comes from God, that doesn't always mean that it is used in a way that God would want. And there can be occasions where our obedience to authority conflicts with our obedience to God. And one example of this that I've been looking into happened just before and around the time of the Second World War, when the church in Germany faced an unimaginable moral dilemma. Because a political party called the Nazi Party, led by Adolf Hitler, had been voted into power. But the church and many Christians in the country were actually very loyal and obedient and supportive. However, as time went on, it became clear that this party had an agenda that discriminated against a particular group of people, the Jewish people, and also other minority groups. And sadly, we know that this led to a horrific plan of genocide being carried out that only ended once Germany was defeated following many years of war. But actually, what's interesting is that the church in Germany kind of split over this whole situation. Incredibly, there were a lot of Christians, the like mainstream church, supported the Nazi regime. But there were actually those who just couldn't reconcile their obedience to the authority of their government with obedience to God. And that's because the two were going against each other. Famously, there were those like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a pastor and a theologian, who felt that he had to stand against what the authorities were doing in his country. And ultimately, he was executed because he stood for what he believed in. And actually, Dietrich Bonhoeffer did really wrestle with this, and you can read about that in some of his writings, because as a Christian, he believed in submitting to authority in the way that we've just heard from Paul, because in doing so, he's submitting to God. But he also knew that the authority of God stands above all authority, and that we should always, first and foremost, seek to be obedient to God in all situations. Now, this kind of scenario is awful and it is extreme, and it does happen. We've seen it time and time again in history, but it's exception to the rule that we're looking at today. And that is why authority being used in the right way is so important, because it's needed to prevent awful abuses of authority and leadership taking place. So really, for us, in the most part, we can demonstrate our obedience to God by being obedient to the authorities that God has placed in our lives. And this is a bit like what Chris was saying at the beginning of this service. These authorities could be within our families, at school, in our workplaces, in our communities, and of course, in our nation and world. And in fact, there are positions of authority in leadership and in society, all around us, don't we? We see that everywhere we go. There are people who have expertise and authority and power. And I think that this kind of system, if used in the right way, is used to maintain peace and order. Okay, so how do we hold all of this together? We've talked about a lot today, haven't we? It's a complex issue on so many levels. So how do we take Paul's advice that we must submit to authority and apply that to the context of the world in which we live and our everyday lives? Well, one really powerful way of doing this is what we've been looking at this whole series, is using the words that we speak to make a difference. Are we speaking words that demonstrate our respect for authority? Are we speaking words that build up our leaders? Even if we may not necessarily agree with what they say or what they do, we can still be respectful in the way that we respond to them. We can still be respectful in our disagreement. And actually, in my research this week, I came across a website for a group called Christians in Parliament. And on there, they had a page of things to pray for. One of the points I found really interesting, because it says this: in a time of political uncertainty, pray that all Christians working in Parliament will model disagreeing well and be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Isn't that amazing? It's including that biblical principle, that one that Chris has been talking about this series, this quick, slow, slow model. But it's also interesting because it talks about modeling disagreeing well, which is not an easy thing to do, is it? And we see that time and time again. But for those Christians who are in Parliament, in the United Kingdom, that is, it's important that they do this. To them, that's important. And in the same way, we as Christians and members of society can model disagreeing well. We can do it in a way that is respectful towards authority. You know, during the time of this pandemic over the last 6 months or so, as I said at the beginning, there's been a lot of negativity in the news and on social media. But there's been one thing that really moved me, and that was some months ago when the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, came down with the coronavirus and was admitted into hospital. And I saw churches and Christian leaders around our nation publicly appeal for and rally prayer for the Prime Minister. And I'd like to think that regardless of what their opinions may have been or personal opinions were, they did this because they saw the bigger picture. They saw that there was a leader in need, a leader, somebody in position of authority that was given to them by God. And they decided to respond not with criticism and not with insults, but with prayer. And what a powerful witness that is to society. And I think that it's another great way that we can show our respect for God's authority, to pray for people in positions of power and leadership. I think in doing that, we are seeking out harmony and peace in the world around us, often in areas where there is division and conflict. And I just wonder, and I've asked myself this week, am I more likely to respond with perhaps criticism or even disrespectful comments? Or am I likely to respond first by praying for people in authority in my life? So what might be your next step in response to this today? Maybe it's something as simple as just not saying or not posting that insulting comment about somebody in leadership. Maybe it's actively speaking respectful words that build others up. Maybe it's that scenario like I spoke about at the beginning of the soldier that was leading to that competition in Germany. Even though he disagreed with what he had to do, he, in front of other people, he still stood up for the decision that I had to make. He still demonstrated respect. Maybe it's praying for people in positions of leadership. Maybe, like Chris was praying earlier, there is difficult situations in your life, in your workplace. Maybe there's authority that is difficult for you right now. Or maybe it's simply thinking about this idea that authority comes from God, and that in being obedient to authority, we are being obedient to God. So whether you are listening today as a follower of Jesus or someone exploring faith, I think these are great things to be thinking about. And I really believe that our words can make a difference. They can make a difference in the world around us and in the lives of others. And they can make a difference for those in position of leadership and authority. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word today, Lord. It's a difficult lesson today to know that all authority comes from you and that to be obedient to authority is being obedient to you. And Lord, there are times when either that is impossible or that goes against what you want for us. Father, I just pray for those situations where people are perhaps wrestling with those in authority in their lives. Perhaps specific scenarios they are facing right now seem just too difficult to endure. But I pray they will be able to see you in it, to acknowledge that your authority is above all, and to be obedient to you through everything. And I want to pray for all those listening and watching who are in positions of power and authority, Lord, that you will bless them, that you will encourage them, you will build them up, Lord, and that we will be people who speak words of respect and love, and we build others up with our words. We pray that in this nation there will be peace and there will be harmony by the words we speak and the things that we pray for those in position of power. Lord, just change our hearts, I pray. Amen.